Welcome to God, Sex, and You, a daily discipleship podcast on healthy sexuality. Here's your host, Purity Pastor Dustin Daniels.
Well, happy Monday to you. Today we are continuing our conversation on relational withdrawal. This is something that we do after we look and act out with pornography. This is lesson 2 of 3. Let me ask you this. Have you ever wondered why you don't have many friends? Maybe you don't have any friends, like any really, really good friendships. It certainly is something we're thinking about. And maybe you're a spouse of someone dealing with pornography and wondering, like, yeah, why doesn't he? Why doesn't she have at least one really good friend? I had someone tell me a couple months back, he said, you know, my wife told me to go call a friend and go play golf because she just wanted me out of the house. And it occurred to me that I didn't know who to call because I didn't have any real friends. They're all just acquaintances. They're all just casual, surface level colleagues. And how sad and how pathetic that is as a 55-year-old man. Well, today we're going to discuss that topic head on as we continue our series titled The Sex Spiral, Forgiven and Free from Pornography. Now, the sex spiral is a set of awareness triggers that explain the location as to where I am inside this habit, inside this bondage or addiction to pornography. And make no doubt about it, porn is a series of predictable habits that we've created for ourselves. The bad news is that we don't realize it. The good news, however, is that as you listen, as you review, and as you start applying this material to your life, you will, by God's grace, man, you're going to break free from the bondage of porn. So in today's podcast, we're going to learn 3 things. Number one, how it's impossible to have good relationships when we withdraw from others. Number 2, why it's important to understand that repentance is not just something we do with God. And number 3, what happens when we think that we've repented, that we're doing all the right steps, but in reality, we haven't. We're just playing the same old game. Well, let's get started with today's lesson. This is why I don't have good relationships. So true repentance can always be determined by my willingness to face those affected by my sin. If you haven't made things right, then that's something to take to the Lord this week. If there are people in your life, if there's something, if you're married in here and you've got something to confess, there's something that you need to tell her, tell your children, whatever, seek the Lord's face in that. But we don't want to, right? Because once we've acted out once again, the act of my sin in combination with my shame is now convincing me that I don't like me. So once we act out in shame, I'm sorry, once we act out in sin, we add our shame, and then it goes back to my shame story. Remember our shame stories? There's 4 of them. You got the strong person, the weak person, the wounded person, and the godly person, right? So the strong person says, well, I'm the strong person, so you're the problem, right? And because you're the problem, you're the very reason that I do what I do. That's the strong person. The weak person says, well, I am the person. I am the problem. The weak person says, how can I not do this again? This is my life. I'm weak. And if I'm weak, I don't like myself. And if I don't like myself, well, then I don't like you either. Right? The wounded person says, well, I'm the result of what's been done to me. I'm the result. This is always going to happen to me. And because God is ultimately in control, I don't like him. And I don't like you because these things aren't happening to you. At least we don't think so. It's amazing how judgmental we are, right? I'll pick on Amy, my wife, for a minute. She'll say things like, boy, that couple just seems like they've got it so together.
And I'll start laughing. And I'll go, oh, babe, come on. They don't have just one mask on. They've got like three. You've got to get through two others to get kind of get there, right? But that's this idea of really understanding, kind of getting to know people, how long that takes, but how big that facade can be, right? It takes a long time. So you got the strong person, the weak person, the wounded person, and now the godly person. The godly person says, my holiness and my worthiness is now based on how much I sin or don't sin. That's a bad deal right there, that my godliness is based on what I do, on how much I sin or don't sin. You're saved by grace, fellas. God loves you on your worst day. The godly person says, well, if I love Jesus, why can't I stop doing this?
Or your wife throws that one at you, too.
Yeah.
You love me, Jesus, stop doing that.
And she's throwing that at us because she's severely wounded, right? She doesn't know how to respond.
And neither did I, so.
And she needs to be ministered to as well throughout all this. The godly person says, well, I should be able to control this, but I can't. So I'm going to hide because other people think that I'm godly. I'm going to go to a men's Bible study and I'm going to get some great lessons. But every time I leave, I feel alone. Because no one's sharing what they're really going through, right? And by the way, as you guys move into men's ministries in your church and stuff, if you're the first one to go, you know what, I've got a problem with this, watch what happens. Mm-hmm. Just watch what happens. It takes one guy. You've heard me say this a million times. One man, one godly man will change your life forever. You can be that man taking this stuff to your church and go, yeah, yep, lust's a big deal for me. And watch what happens. That's all you have to say. So when I act out and I withdraw because I don't like you and I don't like me and I don't like God, it's impossible, right? It's impossible to have good relationships when we withdraw. So relational withdrawal causes me to want to move away. And think about this. This is really important to understand. This is an internal insight. If I move away, shame is now an internal dynamic. I may be present in the relationship, which is an external relationship, but I'm absent in terms of feelings and in terms of my attitudes. So I'm shut down, I'm numb, I'm angry, I've got my mask on, and I'm faking it. How you doing? Fine. Great. Everything's great. But man, we just kid ourselves, don't we? The charade only works for so long. The facade only carries on for so long. And here's the thing. Your family and your friends know something's wrong. They may not know what it is, but they know something's wrong. So they feel our absence even though we're present, but they can't get into our shame. They can't get into our mind. They can't get into our thoughts. They can't go there. It's interesting to me that we now have medical scientists and all these people that can tell us how the brain works. They can tell us all the how much dopamine, how much adrenaline, how much oxytocin, how much vasopressin, and how it floods the VTA and the pleasure center of the brain and all those medical terms, right? They can tell us all that, but they still can't tell us what we're thinking. They still can't tell us what's on our mind. They can tell us how the brain functions, but not. That's why the Apostle Paul says, renew your mind, right? So how do we remedy this situation with isolation, with relational withdrawal? Turn your Bibles to Joel chapter 2. Joel chapter 2, he's a minor prophet. There may or may not be a whole lot of notes in your Bible with Brother Joel. But That's all right. Joel 2, verse 12. Even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all of your heart, with fasting and weeping and mourning. Tear your hearts and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and compassionate. He's slow to anger, abounding in love, and he relents from sending calamity. So he says, even now that you've done this again, even now, return to me. Fasting and weeping and mourning. It's this idea of, Lord, I'm going to surrender as best as I know how. We talk a lot about surrender, and I don't want to give the false impression like this is a one and done type thing. Surrender is certainly not. It's surrendering over and over and over. Last couple months, I found myself surrendering a part of my life going, I thought I surrendered that yesterday. Why am I taking it back? Why do I have to give it back to you? But that's the process. It's a daily surrender, like, oh, I said I was going to give that to you, but I'm taking it back. I feel myself doing that. Here you go again. So it's an incremental type thing. Matthew chapter 3, verse 2. Gospel of Matthew, chapter 3, verse 2. How many times have you heard this? Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent. You can write down Luke 13:5. It's the same thing. Unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. And then turn your Bibles to Acts chapter 17. The book of Acts, chapter 17. Acts 17, verse 30. The times of ignorance God overlooked, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent. I don't think there's a day that goes by to where at some level we don't need to repent of something. You know what I mean? I'm always repenting for something. I'm always saying I'm sorry for something. I had a great prayer time this morning, just this morning. Kiss Amy goodbye, pray for her, and I'm getting ready, and I'm shaving, and when I'm getting ready, I've got a podcast going on usually, and she calls me, and I'm immediately irritated because I'm in my routine, and I want to be bugged, right?
Oh, Jesus, right now.
That's right. I'm praying right now. Can you, what is it, woman?
The house is on fire.
Right? And she said, she literally, so, you know, I got shaving cream all over my face. I got the phone right there. So I answered and I hit speaker. I said, hey, babe. Hey, can I bug you for a second? Yes? Yeah. Can I get you to do me a favor? Yeah, babe, what is it? Oh, I caught myself. I was like, oh, that's not good. But did I say I'm sorry right then and there? Oh, no. I don't know. Hey, I forgot my pills. Can you bring them over to me? I'm so sorry. Yeah, I can do that. And my tone was just so unbelievably inconsiderate. So a half hour later, I go drop off her stuff. I say that I'm sorry. But why didn't I do it right then and there? Because I was being bugged, right? I was with Jesus, man. Don't bug me when I'm with Jesus. I've always got something to repent of, right? It's this constant purging in your life. You know, when you read the scriptures and God talks about the refining fire, when you're getting pressed in and this testing that happens, you know, when a goldsmith makes gold, it's not that they just crank up the heat as hot as it gets. It has to be a certain temperature. So you can have a mediocre goldsmith with the right temperature, or someone who's very, very experienced in the wrong temperature, and you're not going to get pure gold. Because the dross has to come up, and you got to get the impurity out of the gold, right? The temperature has to be just right. And I find that amazing, like, oh, Lord, it's getting a little warm in here. You guys ever feel that? You can turn down the heat anytime now, right? Wait a second, I just went through that. I can't handle two things going on at one time. I can't multitask, you know that. But it's this constant purging in my life. And obviously, this isn't just sexual sin stuff, man. This is just life.
Repentance is to change one's way of life. As the result of a complete change of thought and attitude with regard to sin and righteousness. And we tend to focus in on the sorrow that a person experiences because of sin. But see, repentance seems to be more specifically about total change. Not just the sorrow, but total change, both in thought and behavior. And repentance changes the way that we think. And when we think differently, that's when we start to act differently. That's when our behavior changes. And it starts with our mind. Romans 12:2, the Apostle Paul writes, "Don't copy the behavior and the customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way that you think. Then you're going to learn to know God's will for you, which is good, it's pleasing, and it's perfect." I also like the Message version of this passage of Romans 12:2. So here's what I want you to do. God helping you. Take your everyday, your ordinary life. You're sleeping, you're eating, you're going to work, you're walking around life, and place it before God. Place it before Him as an offering. Embracing what God does for you, that's the best thing you can do. That's the best thing you can do for Him. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit in without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God, and you'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what He wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you and develops a well-formed maturity in you. Being changed from the inside out starts with starting small and walking slow. And the starting small aspect of establishing a purity plan is very practical. Step number one to this thing is to install a filtering software program on all of your digital devices, your phones, your laptops, your tablets, all that stuff. You know, let's say you've got a 16-year-old son who just got his driver's license. Now, would you go out and buy him a brand new Corvette that has a 650-horsepower engine? How about a Ducati superbike without a helmet? Would you do that? Yeah, some of you might, but most of us would say, well, of course not, right? He doesn't know how to drive. He can't handle that much power. Well, that's what happens with our digital devices. We all have the power of the internet, but with very little restraint or self-control, we learn how to use the internet for evil rather than good. So we need some type of help. We need a filtering software program to help us with that. If we don't, we're going to crash and we're going to burn every single time. I've used Covenant Eyes filtering software for years, and it allows me to avoid exposing myself, my family, my friends from the evils of pornography. So if you don't have something installed on your devices, let me encourage you. Visit CovenantEyes.com today. And when you do, you're going to receive a 30-day free trial when you put my full name in the promo box with no spaces. And when you sign up, you're also supporting the Ministry of Seven Places and this podcast. Well, thank you so much for listening to God, Sex, and You. I'm Dustin Daniels. And if you're in Phoenix, you're invited to our weekly community group. It's a grace group, and it's for men and women, husbands, wives, together, single, divorced. It doesn't matter. You are welcome, and you're invited to listen to God with us every Tuesday night at 7 p.m. at Northern Hills Community Church. We are in Building A, Room 301. You can follow me on Twitter at Purity Pastor, and you can email me your questions at DustinDanielsRadio.com. 1 Corinthians 4:20 reads, "The kingdom of God isn't just a lot of talk, it's living in God's power." That power is the very name. It's the shed blood of Jesus Christ, my friend. I love you, and I look forward to our time again tomorrow.